So hi, I'm here with Ryan Mercado, and here your second feature film at Berlinale after Yuling Palabas. Now it's Raging, and both are queer stories, both play with genre elements, and both take us back to a time in the past that you also have a personal connection to. Would you like to talk a little bit about the development of this film?
Okay, so it's inspired by a lot of composite stories based on real life scenarios and situations in our small town community in a remote island in the Philippines. I was struck by this news item that I read about a young gay man who was sexually abused by two of his peers during a night out in the countryside, and dawned on me that these stories actually happen quite a lot than a lot of people would think. And I also realized that as part of the LGBTQIA+ community, I was also subjected to this type of abuse, and it's kind of normalized in our society and it's not being talked about. But then now that I have like a medium and an opportunity to talk about it, I felt like as an artist, as a storyteller, it's my responsibility to tell this story and open up a conversation and a dialogue so that this won't happen again and these abuses should be stopped. So that's basically the inspiration and where it came from.
How much of the story is actual, still the real life story, and how much is fiction?
Okay, so the backdrop, it's set in a mining community in the island, so that's real, and a lot of people are still threatened by the corporation's exploration and violation of the land, the illegal mining and stuff that's happening there. So that's real. Also, the abuses, it's just inspired, but I know that for a fact that it's happening. But I don't want to make it a documentary. That's why I put it in a narrative or a fiction form.
Did you speak to people who actually experienced abuse to draw from their experience and fictionalize them?
Yes, actually. So that story that I was telling you about, I tried to connect with the victim, but unfortunately, he's not yet ready to talk about it. But then I went to the community and spoke to the barangay chieftain, the leader of the community. And I was really surprised to learn about his stance with what happened. So he considered the abuse or the rape that is just a prank among friends. So he doesn't believe it. So the case wasn't, you know, didn't advance at all. And the family of the abuse decided to withdraw. And I also talked to some of my friends who I know for a fact that was abused growing up. And I realized through talking to them and through referrals that a lot of adult men were victims of sexual abuse during their teens. And most of these men were, in fact, gay men in their teenage years.
Is queerness in the Philippines accepted, or is it still very much a taboo subject and repressed?
I think that since we're still much of a conservative society, in fact, we still don't have like divorce in the Philippines among the Asian countries. So it's very conservative there. And while gay men or the LGBTQIA+ community is being tolerated, they are not accepted. So they're still undergoing through aggressions in different forms, abuses and microaggressions. And there are no bills and protections for them. But, you know, there are communities that have this movement that their advocacy is to make the gay community safer.
In such a social climate, how hard is it to make a film with queer subjects as a queer person and a film that has a queer positive stance?
Well, because in media, it's not being accepted, but in independent setting, independent filmmaking, a lot of these stories would come out and a lot of support also are being directed towards the community. So it's not quite hard to tell stories about this, but we still need to tell stories about our community because we don't still have the right that normative people or heterosexual people have in terms of civil rights and other protections. So I'll go back to the statement that we're tolerated, but we're not accepted.
Your film stylistically also adopts elements of horror and thriller. What does this genre element mean for you? And are genre films in general a big influence for you?
Actually, I didn't realize that I'm making horror stories. I'm more of interested in the mystical part, enchanted twisted culture of our society, which is still prevalent. And these supernatural beliefs are still present in our modern day society. So it's tied to the fact that as a society, as a Filipino culture, we are much relational to nature. So we believe things that are not seen by the naked eyes. And much of the colonization that happened in the Philippines really removed or erased these stories. So it's subversion of the colonial stories or post-colonial theories that we go back to our original way of telling stories, that we connect with nature, and nature plays an important part in our daily living and our community.
Christian colonization is, of course, often very closely connected with the discrimination and stigmatization of queer people. So is that also an element that plays into it?
Yeah, I think, but it's not very obvious, but it's part of how I tell stories also, that I'm leaning towards what's the local way of telling stories instead of just mimicking or copying from Hollywood or from Western concepts of storytelling.
What would you say, in your own words, makes this film a specifically Philippine story in a Philippine style?
Well, because I'm telling it from my own perspective as a regional filmmaker, as a Filipino, so it's based on lived experiences and our challenges, our struggles as a nation. Part of it, as a diverse country, can be told uniquely through our own experience, especially from a remote island in the Philippines, away from the central Manila. So it's part of creating stories from the peripheries or away from the center.
Both this story and your previous film play in the past, or a large part of the story plays in the past. Why did you decide for a historical setting?
Well, I think it's kind of a commentary and a social critique that, in spite of modernization and decades after these milieus were told from, nothing has really changed in terms of systemic structural changes in our country. So a lot of abuses still happens. Tolerance is still prevalent, but not really accepted. So these concerns, these preoccupations really bother me as a storyteller. And again, as part of the community from the remote area, from the marginalized sector, I feel that I have been given an opportunity to voice out and speak about it, to open a conversation and a dialogue.
This story also connected to your own experience of the time and the temporary background itself, not only the violence?
Yeah, so I grew up in the 90s, and I was exposed to a lot of media, consumerism, radio, and TV. It's interesting for me that I went through all these changes, and I was a witness of these transformations in both societal and technological. So for example, Huling Palabas is like a coming of age, but then also an end of an era. There's nostalgia in it, but also a glimpse in the past that is very communal and a different way of consuming entertainment, but very special that in this time and age, it's not possible to go back to that form, you know, of watching movies, for example, because you can now easily download and you have like different platforms and streaming devices. But before, it's a special way of connecting with people.
Because you lose this experience space with the community, you know? It's, even if it's like a crampy movie theater with a tiny TV screen, you lose all the people and the common experience. So it's...
That is true. And that sense of community is lost in this era today, especially after COVID, and people would not easily go. So it's hard for people to go back to the cinema, for example. So I want people to realize that there's more to watching films than just, you know, easily downloading or watching it in the devices.
How did you realize these historic aspects of the film? How did you recreate the time setting to make it feel so accurate?
Since it's part of my experience growing up, it's part of my memory. It's also a way for me to document the time, the history, its preservation also of that special time of day and age. So it's not very difficult, you know, to recreate that world, because I was part of that history, of that young wonder, of that yesteryear. So I also have an innate fascination with past, because people, or the Filipinos especially, don't really learn from the past. So
the Germans don't either.
So it keeps on happening, political stuff and all. So we elect the same people and it's still not going very well.
I have a strong feeling that this is not only the case for the Philippines, yeah. but more like a global notion. The title of the film is literally Raging. It expresses the anger that people feel. Would you like to talk a little bit about, and what does this mean for you to address the anger that people feel after an attack? Because it's not often addressed, actually. It's just very recently that films and TV series also start to talk about this anger.
So there's a linguistic difference with the translation, because in our local language, it's called Romaragasa, and that literally means the sound of the flow of the river.
Okay, so, now that's very interesting because it's completely different.
Yeah, so I realize now that the English subtitle it's not very accurate, and people would have a different notion and impression of the film based on the title. But I'd also like to subvert our idea of rage, that sometimes it's not about explosion, it's not outward anger, but it can really rot you inside, because it can be an internal turmoil, and the processing goes inside yourself, emotional and mental. And I wanted to play and explore that interaction or the relationship between the physical and the nature. So if you've seen the film, much of the rage actually happens within the environment or outside the physical body. And it's my way of showing that nature is part of our experience of ourselves. That's why we also need to take care of our nature, and we need to coexist with it. Otherwise, we're not going to be in a good place.
Now that you return to this festival, the Berlinale, with your second film, how does it feel?
It feels very special, and it actually surprised me, because I didn't really expect to be back very soon. And because I was not very confident with this film, because we had a lot of challenges logistically with the film. So I felt that I could have done more with this film. But then again, I'm very grateful for the Berlinale, especially to the Generations team, because I actually submitted it to Generation, but then the programmers realized that younger audience would not be able to process it because of the dark theme. So when they referred it to Panorama and I got the news from Bartolomeo, I was really ecstatic, and I feel a sense of also gratitude and pride in that opportunity again to tell our story to the global stage, because we don't have a lot of an audience in the Philippines. So that's why this festival means a lot, not only to me, but also to the film and the story it tackles.
Do you also plan a new film that you like to mention?
Actually, yes. So I'm working with the same collaborators, but this time I'm not it's not based on a script that I wrote. So the story is written by a friend. So as a director, as a filmmaker, it's gonna be my first time to work on a material that's not mine to begin with. But the topic, the subject, and the themes align with my style and also with my passion as a storyteller. So I'm interested. So it's also about the experience of gay community and also outside Manila. So it's more intimate showcase of love, intimacy, and repression, especially again in the patriarchal context or toxic masculinity culture of the Philippines.
Then maybe we'll see that at next, or the Berlinale after the next one. So thank you so much, Ryan, for this interview.
Thank you very much.
And good luck at the Teddies.
All right, thank you.